It's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hughey.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230, KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. It's been, well, let's see, if I do this and I subtract this and I carry this number, it's been about 10 months since the derecho or so, and folks still recovering, obviously, and folks still looking for some help, and help ye shall get if you're under the right circumstances, thanks to the Community Foundation of Marshall County, and Executive Director Julie Hitchens joins us for an update on what's available through CFMC. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, Ken.
Happy Friday. And a Friday after a holiday weekend.
I know. I kind of like the four-day weeks. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, I do too. I've been trying to figure out how we can get, you know, get that instituted four-day work week.
Yeah,
forget Monday.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And go from there. So far, all I've gotten is strange stares from the boss, but that's okay. That's the look I usually get anyway. Anyway, what is going on with the disaster recovery funds available through the Community Foundation? Yeah. You've still got a few dollars to help out with.
We do. So on Tuesday, we announced our derecho recovery grant availability. And, you know, I hate to tell this to everybody, but I'm going to tell you, go to our website. We have a new disaster recovery page.
Okay.
Because that fund is going to be around forever, because we know after the tornado and derecho and pandemic that there's going to be more disasters. So all the guidelines are there on our website.
So are they difficult guidelines? I mean, how deep do we have to go in order that to look at it? Because I know just the thought to some people of filling out an application for a grant, they go, no thanks, I'll go choke on something first.
No. And we changed the process. So we actually, your first step is just a letter of intent.
Okay.
And that is just a short description of what you want the money for, your program or project. It's got to be derecho recovery. So you've got to have that genre. But a short letter, we tell you in the guidelines, you know, we need to know what the project is, a little bit about your funding. So if you just need a couple thousand dollars and your project's funded, we want to know that because we want to fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And so first we do letters of intent. And then we move to an application phase. So chosen applicants are then invited to complete a full application, which is more robust. You get to tell more of your story. It's hard to tell your story, right, in mm-hmm. one or two pages. But then you move to the application phase, and then the fun comes when we actually get to hand out those big checks.
So, again, these are available to whom?
Right. So as a community foundation, we can only grant to organizations. We can't grant to individuals. We grant to organizations that then assist individuals. So got to be serving Marshall County. This is Marshall County Disaster Recovery. So it's mm-hmm. countywide, unlike the tornado. That was just tornado affected area. Countywide, nonprofit, city entity. If you're a charitable organization and don't have a 501c3, you can partner with a 501c3 through a fiscal responsibility agreement, and you can apply. So you don't have to be a 501c3, but you need to find somebody to partner with.
So how has the fund developed? I know that there were initial contributions, again, to the Tornado Fund and to the Derecho Fund. Are you still getting folks saying, hey, I want to help others, here's my contribution?
Absolutely. So Rebuild has been around since the tornado, and that is strictly recovery and strictly in the tornado-affected area. That fund received over $800,000. We still receive a couple thousand dollars every year
mm-hmm.
To that fund, often on the anniversary of the tornado. We'll get a donation in honor of someone that played a big role in our recovery. So that fund is still active. That, again, those guidelines are also on our website, but that's accepting donations. And then disaster recovery really started first with COVID. So we launched it in May of 2020 when we were hearing from our nonprofit partners that we had some individuals that needed some help. during COVID. And disaster recovery is really, we fill gaps. We don't fully fund something. We rely on government agencies, other agencies, but we fill gaps where there isn't that help available. So it started with COVID, and then on August 10th, it became a dual recovery fund, which we're one of the few in the state that, you know, actually had three different disasters we're dealing with. But so right now it's a dual fund. COVID has really calmed down, right? Mm-hmm. So that we think we're done with, we pray we're done with. And now we've got just about $90,000 left. And that will be for derecho recovery.
So this can be, if I read everything correctly in my brief overview, this can be for projects that may have already been completed as well,
yes.
Not just ones that you're still trying to play catch up on.
Yes, that is true. So this grant cycle is a little bit different than rebuild, and people get confused. But this grant cycle, it can be for costs already incurred or costs that you're going to incur in the future. So either way, because we feel like sometimes you have to do that recovery right away, like maybe putting on a roof. And we will definitely entertain those grant applications. So it can be for prior expenses, obviously derecho related, but also future projects.
Okay. So what kind of, let's just go back. I know we've talked about the tornado in the past, and we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary of that. But let's talk about COVID relief grants and derecho relief grants. What kind of projects has that fund granted and helped out with so far?
And relief grants, those are our fast right after disaster grants. So for COVID, we granted to Child Abuse Prevention Services. They did all the individual relief. They vetted all the applications, so we granted to them. We granted to the Chamber, their nonprofit wing, and they did mini grants to businesses for PPE, because we remember how much face masks and gloves and hand sanitizers were, you know, over a year ago. They were a hot commodity. So to the Chamber, and then our final one for COVID was to the Marshalltown School District. Love to talk about this one because it was a great collaboration and partnership. The school couldn't get all the kiddos to school because, you know, you can't put them on a bus like sardines, like when we used to ride a bus. You know, 3D a seat doesn't work during COVID. The city bus system had some bandwidth, but they needed funding. So the city actually reduced their fees. We came in and provided the grant money. And so kids went to school on the city bus just for that social distancing. Yeah. So that was a really neat one to see the collaboration amongst two organizations, for a very important thing to get kids to school.
You know, I think there are probably some people out there that look at it and say, okay, you know, it's been, and I know we've talked about the opposite and what the reality is, but, you know, it's been 3 years since the tornado. Yeah, the derecho was last August. We should be okay now. We'll get there. We may have a few loose ends and all that, but there are a lot of loose ends, and not all of them are small.
Yes, there are some very, very big loose ends. Driving down Main Street, we know that there is still tornado recovery to happen with some of the buildings. You know, I went for a walk last night, and there's still blue tarps in my neighborhood. I live on the northwest side, and there is still fixing to be done. So if an organization wants to go out and help people rebuild their homes from derecho damage, that would be a great grant application. So we know recovery takes a long time. We think rebuild is going to be around at least for 5 more years, just because things move slowly. You know, we've got some dollars granted that are based on receiving state funding. And we won't know that probably till the end of this year. So it's just a long process, but we really like the silver lining. I point to the Coliseum, and really what a showcase and what an asset for our city. You know, they didn't just rebuild it. They rebuilt it to something much better.
So when you drive around and you look at things, and you know, and I know you do that, you look at things through your different prisms, okay? What, outside of the Coliseum, what has stood out that you kind of go, you know, the Community Foundation helped with that? community foundation help with this? I know there's a lot of good examples, but what jumps to your mind as you drive around the community?
So actually walking, I walked last night and I walked down to West End Park on the 13th Street mm-hmm. District, you know, and we helped with the Echo sculpture, which was kind of the first piece. And then I walked down to the West End Park where Rebuild provided funding for that, the shelter that you see there. And it was full. It was full of kids playing on the equipment. The futsal courts were full, you know, and it was great to see in my neighborhood a park fully utilized. So that brings a lot of joy. You know, we'll be putting out flower baskets on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and the Community Foundation purchased the gator to water those plants. So every time I water plants, you know, I see that sticker, the Community Foundation, on the gator. So, yeah, and then we provide a lot of services, too, that you don't feel or touch or see. But the Community Foundation has done over $1 million in our county endowment funding.
And I thought when people think about grants, they think a lot about services, but it's just like the last day or so, we've done a story reminder about the world's largest swim lesson that is being funded in part by a grant from the Community Foundation.
Yes, it was actually supposed to occur last year. We had mm-hmm. We have a lot of grants that were 2020 grants that moved into 2021. And so, yeah, we're providing funding for that swim lesson. Student Philanthropy is providing some funding for the Rose Festival events. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Community Foundation really touches a lot of different pieces of Marshall County.
Are you still surprised after almost 3 years after the tornado about some of the needs that still come up as you see as the grants are submitted?
Yes, yeah. So we know that there's more to come. I always ask people, if you think you might be applying for a Rebuild grant, let me know. And we kind of have a list of what we know is coming. And there's just a lot more rebuilding to do. You know, there's a lot of things to figure out and a lot of moving pieces. It's kind of like a dominoes game, and you got to get one piece in place and then you can do the next piece, and a lot of planning. And then, you know, just lack of construction mm-hmm. services have slowed down a lot of our grants.
Has the derecho, there's been a lot of talk about the derecho here for the last couple of months, and I'm not sure exactly why since we're not quite to the one-year anniversary, but discussion about it being the most damaging severe thunderstorm in the country's history. And, of course, we had the tornado 2 years before that. Is the amount of help needed for the derecho equaling that of the tornado or vice versa from what you see?
I would... You know, yes, the difference between the tornado and the derecho in terms of the Community Foundation, the tornado was very targeted. It was mm-hmm. it was a large area, but a small area. And we literally had donations from around the world. You know, Marshalltown was in the spotlight. We were on the national news. Derecho was different. Everybody had damage. So every county across central Iowa probably has a disaster recovery fund. So dollars that may have come to our disaster recovery fund probably stayed in that community versus the tornado. It came to us. So, yeah, I think the damage was different, but much more widespread, much, much more widespread.
Well, as far as these derecho recovery grants and some other ones, talk about the timetable. If somebody's interested, goes to the website, wants to fill out a letter of intent, how are things supposed to flow?
So letters of intent, you're always welcome to call me or email me at the foundation with any questions. Letters of intent are due electronically to the foundation email address by 4 p.m. on June 25th. They'll be reviewed by a committee. Then you'll be notified if you're invited to complete a full application.
So it really is a multiple step thing. You don't have to put all your eggs in one basket on one form.
Right, right, right. So just that letter of intent, just give us an idea about what your project or program is about, or what you've had to spend money on for derecho recovery. It will be vetted by the committee, and then you'll do a more full application.
Only got about a minute left, and I know one of the aspects of being the executive director of the Community Foundation that you really like is that student philanthropy. In regards to some of the derecho damage and all that, have some of the students come up with some things from their point of views, from their eyes, that you go, yeah,
Absolutely. So our East Marshall students helped the lunch ladies refill. They took all the frozen goods and put them in a trailer, and we moved them back. And just the food insecurity in general, that's been and mental health have been very, very high on the students' list this year.
Well, thanks for all the Community Foundation does, and we'll keep on top of it and keep sharing it with the folks so they know where they can get some help.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to our donors that make this possible.
Julie Hitchens, Executive Director of the Community Foundation of Marshall County, our guest today on Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.